It is beautiful to be in the house of the Lord, to worship God in spirit and truth. Amen. It is wonderful to see. We have many visitors today, so we're thankful for your presence. It was great to see as many of the kids that are getting up to go downstairs and get ready for Bible Bowl as they're studying and going through the scriptures and getting ready for that, which I think it starts, what, next week? Yeah, next week the Bible Bowl starts, so that's an awesome thing. As we look at on the screen behind us, we're going to start to enter into a series. I was trying to figure out which direction I wanted to go at the start of 2025, and I was listening to a podcast, and I was like, it kind of hit home with me. I'm like, that's the direction I'm going to go. And so, if you notice on the screen behind me, why Jesus endured the cross, that's essentially what we're going to look at. We're going to look at a series of lessons on the cross of Jesus Christ. You know, I was thinking about... I don't oftentimes put illustrations in my sermons, but I came across one, and I said, you know what, I like this one. And it kind of reminded me of my upbringing, and I wanted to just kind of, as we think about the cross of Christ, I wanted to just bring this to you. There's these parents, and the parents, they have this son. He's 10 years old. He struggles in math. He's in public schools, and no matter what they do, no matter how he's tutored, he just continues to struggle. And so the parents are like, you know, well, maybe, you know, we've heard from our friends that go to private schools. Maybe we need to send them to a private school because, well, you know, they seem to have a little bit better education system. So we're going to try sending them to a private school and see if that helps. And so they looked around, and they're not religious. These aren't religious people. They may have only been in a church building a couple times in their lives. And so they decided to pick this Catholic school, and they send their son there. And the first grading period comes around, and they can't believe their eyes. Their son brings home his report card with so much joy and excitement in his heart. And when they bring it home, he noticed that he got an A in math. He went from almost failing math to an A in math. And then they were just like, what in the world is going on? So they had to ask him, say, what made the difference? Like, surely they can't be teaching something that totally different. He says, listen, Mom and Dad. He goes, I got to class, and it was my first class on my first day. I sat down in math class, and I looked up. And there is this little man nailed to a plus symbol. And I thought to myself, they take religion pretty serious, or they take math pretty serious here, so I'm going to start buckling down and actually apply myself. And I think about that illustration, right? And knowing my background, that used to be a former Catholic, I laughed when I read that. And so, again, you think about what that symbolizes. Right? You think about the cross of Jesus Christ and what it symbolizes. Brother, I'm here to tell you that many in society today, they don't know much about the cross as they need to know. Amen? There are many people in society, many people in the church who don't just know enough about the cross of Jesus Christ. Many don't care to know enough about the cross of Christ. You know what we've essentially done? The cross has almost become meaningless. I mean, we wear it as earrings. We wear it as necklaces. How many people have seen people with earrings and necklaces that are the cross, right? And so we've beautified the cross. We tattoo it on our bodies. We hang it up on our walls as a decoration. It's placed on steeples. It's embedded in stained glass windows. And all around that you see, brethren, what have we done? We've beautified the cross. What do I mean by that? Well, I believe that this happens because we beautify the cross because we don't want to necessarily consider the horrible ramifications of what the cross actually means. Crucifixion was the most diabolical form of capital punishment the world has ever known. And yet we wear it as earrings and we wear it as necklaces. We tattoo it on our bodies. We put it in stained glass windows. Brethren, I believe this happens so we don't have to think about the consequences of what the cross is. And so as we go through these coming weeks, we're going to look at a series of sermons on the cross. And as we look at the series of sermons on the cross and ask ourselves the question, why did Jesus have to endure the cross? Well, I want you to look at this first slide. Jesus had to endure the cross. Why? Well, first and foremost, God ordained it. Amen? God ordained it. The second aspect of why Jesus had to endure the cross is the fact that sinful human beings put Jesus on the cross. Amen? The third thing is we can't save ourselves. We have to think about to bring unity to mankind in the church, Jesus had to go to the cross. Without Jesus going to the cross, there is no church. Right? The church began after Jesus' ascension on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Jesus don't go to the cross. Jesus doesn't resurrect. There is no church. Brethren, you think about why Jesus had to endure the cross. He had to endure it because to be the perfect sacrifice so we could be forgiven of our sins. He endured the cross because God has loved his creation, his children, so much. That it says in John 3 and 16, for I loved the world so much that I gave my only begotten Son. So, brethren, Jesus had to endure the cross. He had to do it to redeem mankind. He had to do it to fulfill prophecy so that way we could live for him. Brethren, Jesus died on the cross to set the ultimate example of what? Submission. Submission to God, the Father. Brethren, as you can see, Jesus died for many reasons. There's many reasons he had to go to the cross. The other day, I was listening to that podcast, as I was mentioning to you, and as I was listening to this podcast, it was a gentleman, a Church of Christ preacher, who was recalling a lecture that he heard from Wendell Winkler. He's one of the Winkler brothers that many in the church know, but he was listening to this podcast from Wendell Winkler, and he goes, if you want people to have better attendance, stop preaching about attendance. He says, if you want to have a bigger offering, stop preaching about the offering. He says, if you want people to volunteer more, stop preaching about volunteering. He says, if you need more Bible school teachers, stop preaching about why people should be teachers. He went on, as I was listening to this podcast, to go on to say that the reason why we struggle with those things is because we need to preach the cross of Christ. He goes, if you preach the cross of Jesus Christ, if you preach the idea that we need to fall in love with Jesus and people give their lives over to Jesus, they identify with the cross, they understand truly what it means, that then you'll have an abundance of volunteers. People will give of their time and their resource and their financial means. They'll want to teach the message of the cross. They'll want to teach the children. They'll want to teach fellow adults. Why? Because they understand what the cross of Jesus Christ means. And if you understand what the cross of Jesus Christ means, and if you fall in love with Jesus, brethren, you're all in. You're willing to do anything that is necessary to make sure that his kingdom, the kingdom that you're a part of, thrives here in your current generation. He said that the church will thrive or falter based on an individual's love of Jesus Christ. Brad, do you think about that simple concept? How true is that? Like it or not, your love for Christ or your lack thereof is evident in your attendance. Amen? Your love for Christ or lack thereof is many times evident in your willingness to volunteer, your willingness to teach, your offering, and so many other things. And now there's other things that go into it, like as you give your life over to Christ and as you mature in your faith, you oftentimes tend to mature quicker in your faith if you're all in for Jesus. If you have a great love for Jesus, you're willing to do anything for Jesus. You guys remember, and you think back when Jesus was talking about the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, and he said that I have this against you, that you left your first love, but he told them to go back to do the things that you used to do in the beginning. What was he talking about? He said you had a way of life, you used to do the things that I set as the example, and now you no longer do those things. So go back and do what you did in the beginning. Who here had that first love, right? You know, maybe your spouse was your first love, right? Maybe it wasn't. But if it wasn't, and if it is, what did you do? Right? Weren't you willing to do anything and everything for that individual? Right? I mean, you were willing to just about to run through a wall for them because there's nothing that you can do because you love that individual so very much. And so when an individual falls in love with Jesus, brethren, it solves many problems. And when we think about the love that we need to have for Christ, you won't have to ask these individuals to do the things that I just listed. You won't have to ask them to attend services. They're going to want to be there every time the door is open. You go back and you think about even early on in your faith when you're first baptized, you're on fire for Jesus, right? You're willing, you're all in, you're willing to do whatever it takes. But eventually, life gets in the way. Eventually, hobbies get in the way. Careers and jobs get in the way. Relationships get in the way. And eventually, you start to no longer do the things you once did. And that's what Jesus was talking about with the church of Ephesus. You need to do the things that you did at first. Right? Paul, when he was saying it's better if you would be like I, saying unmarried, he wasn't saying that you can't get married and that you shouldn't get married, but in that time of persecution, you'd be better off being as I. Why? He was saying that simply because now if you're married, your thoughts are for not just for yourself and God, but for yourself and for your wife and for your children and for everything else. And so you have more on your plate to worry about. And so, brethren, you think about all of these things here this morning. Those of us who truly love Jesus become selfless. We need to become selfless and not selfish. Do you understand the difference? Selfless versus selfish. We need to be selfless. We need to be willing to set aside our own will to enact the will of God. That's why it says we die to self and live for Christ. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I desire to go to be with Christ, but I know that my job here on earth is not done. And so while I desire to go to Christ, while I live for Christ. And so, brethren, Jesus said that we could serve only one master. Amen? And Jesus said we could serve and we could care for the needs of others. And when we do those things, it is as if we are doing it for Jesus himself. And so think about that. When you are serving, when you're volunteering, when you're involved in ministry, when you're helping in a soup kitchen, when you're helping in the food pantry, when you're helping with clothing giveaways, when you're helping with Bible studies, when you're helping with fill in the blank with all the various forms of ministry, it's as if you're doing it for Jesus himself. That's what it tells us in Matthew chapter 25. So when you truly love someone, you're all in. You're willing to sacrifice of your own time and your own resources and your own energy. You guys remember Hebrews chapter 2, what the Apostle Paul had to say? In Hebrews chapter 2, notice what it says. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of Almighty God. Think about that for a second. Keep your eyes focused on Christ, fixated on Christ. Why do you think it says that? Don't answer, but think about it. Why do you think it says that? Think about that for a second. Why do you think it's important in the world that we live in to kind of put on the horse blinder, so to speak, and stay focused on Jesus Christ? Because I'm here to tell you, brethren, there's all types of things that are going to be pulling at you from all different directions, right? Getting you to try to live more of a worldly life. Satan's always whispering in your ear, trying to get that weakness that you have in your moral character to well up and to come out and to show its ugly head, right? You guys seen those I was talking about in a Bible study this morning. You got Satan on the left, those little commercials, and you got, you know, the angel on the right, right? And that's your conscience, and they're both whispering in your ear. Brethren, if you're constantly filling your mind with the Word of God, then you could drown out the Satan. You could drown out that little demon that's on your shoulder, that's whispering in your ear, that's trying to put a stumbling block before your path. And so we need to stay fixated on Jesus Christ. Notice what it also says there. Who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. What do you mean? Crucifixion was the most diabolical form of death the world has ever known in form of capital punishment. And yet for the joy, he went to the cross. Because why? He understood what the cross meant for you. His creation. His love. His child. He understood what his death meant. And when you finally really realize and understand what Jesus' death on the cross means, brother, you should be all in. Because you realize it's your sin that put him on the cross. And when you realize it's your sin that put Jesus on the cross, what should you do? Do everything you can to make sure you warn others about the sin in their lives. To make sure you're doing everything in your life to remove sin by repenting of sin, by turning your life fully over to Jesus. So you see, brethren, it's important that we look at these things. You think about the Apostle Paul. He reminds us in Romans chapter 5 on the screen behind me that God demonstrated his own love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. Brethren, think about that hymn that we sing, Jesus Paid It All. You guys remember the hymn, Jesus Paid It All? Jesus paid it all. Go ahead. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I can't sing a lick, but that's why I said, just keep on going. Come on, keep it going. But what does it say on the table right here? Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus paid it all. And he wants us to realize that all to him I owe. I owe Jesus all I have in this life. Before, you guys hear, you hear somebody say they're doing the Lord's Supper and we get to the point of the offering and they'll say we give back a portion of what God has given to us, because there's nothing that you have in this life that you don't use God's resources to have what you have. Right? Everything is because we use the resources that God has put on this planet in order to create and have the things that we have. And so we give back a portion of what God has blessed us with. We owe God everything, especially when it comes to eternal salvation. Because without Jesus going to the cross, there is no salvation. We're still in our sins, and we will die in our sins. If there is no cross, there is no Messiah. If God didn't put a plan in place before the foundations of the world. And so Paul reminds us, he also reminds us that the cross exposes that fundamental choice. You guys have heard me say before, you get two choices. You're on team Satan or you're on team Christ. Which one do you choose? You both get a starter jersey. You go on Satan's team, you get a starter's jersey. You go on Christ's team, you get a starter's jersey. They expect you to be all in, right? If you're on Satan's team, he wants you to do everything you can to put stumbling block in your family member's place, put stumbling blocks before your friends and your family and your loved ones. But if you're on God's team, he wants you to do everything you can to tell people about Jesus Christ, to tell them about his son, to tell them about salvation that only resides in Christ Jesus. Brethren, you see, Paul wants us to understand these things. Paul says that the answer to the question of whose team you're on depends on your response to the cross of Jesus Christ. Brethren, you think about the cross for a second. Most people think it's a humiliation. That's why it was foolishness to the world. Because who worships a crucified man? You're only crucified if you're a criminal. If you're a deadbeat, one of the worst people of society, that's who they crucified. And brethren, but yet Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2 that the cross was an honor and not a humiliation. Paul told the people of Colossae that it wasn't a tragedy, it was a triumph. For God, Jesus, through his son, triumphed over sin and over death. We learn about that in Colossians 2, 13 through 15. Brethren, as we move through these coming weeks, I need us to focus on the cross. I'm going to make a lesson out of every one of these that you see on the screen here behind me. I'm going to make a lesson about every one of those so that way you can understand why these things are so very important. To fully understand the cross of Jesus Christ, brethren, one must know that God has ordained Jesus to go to the cross. We're going to look at the first one here this morning. We're only going to look at a few passages, and it's only going to be a few more minutes. But if I go all the way back and I start to get to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 through 5, and we look to answer the question, why did Jesus need to go to the cross? The first thing is because God ordained it. Brethren, notice what the scriptures tell us. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 through 5 says, but when the appropriate time had come, God had sent out his son, born of a woman, born of the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we may be adopted as sons with full rights. Notice what it says. When the appropriate time had come, after Malachi, 400 years of silence, right? God went radio silent, no more prophets, and the people were longing and waiting for the Messiah to come. And then eventually there's the forerunner. And then eventually Jesus Christ, right, who was born of the Virgin, appears on the scene. And so at the appropriate time in history, God had sent forth his son. But notice Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 11. The scriptures say that this was according to what? The eternal purpose that has been accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. It was God's eternal purpose to send his son to die on the cross because he loved his world. He loved the creation. He loved his children that he made in his own image. And then I think of the next passage in 2 Timothy in 1 and verse 8 and 9. And Paul told Timothy, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, or of me, a prisoner for his sake, but by God's power, accept your share of suffering for the gospel. Did you notice that? Accept your share of suffering for the gospel. It goes back to our lesson on Revelation. To those who endure, I will give the crown of life. And so you look at what it says there. He is the one who saved us. Jesus is the one who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not based on our works, but based on his own purpose and grace granted to us in Christ Jesus before time had began. I look at the next passage and the last passage that we'll look at here this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 20 says, knowing that you were not redeemed, right? You understand what redeemed means. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but you were redeemed, what does it say? With the precious blood. The precious blood is the blood of a lamb, unblemished, spotless, the blood of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he was foreknown before the foundation of the world. Brethren, why did Jesus have to go to the cross? You need to understand first and foremost that Jesus went to the cross to fulfill the plan that God had put in place before he ever even created the world. This is not an afterthought. It's not an aftersight. God had known that man would sin and that they would need a Savior, and he put a plan in place before you were ever even created. Brethren, for God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and he knows all things. So brethren, as I look at this, and before I close this down, it's not enough to just know the truths that have just been mentioned. What matters is how you respond to the truths that have just been mentioned. A lot of people know of the cross, but aren't willing to sacrifice on behalf of the cross. Didn't Jesus say that we must pick up our own cross? Right? If we are to pick up our own cross, it's so we can identify with Jesus Christ. We can identify with the idea of being a sacrificial offering unto the Lord, like Romans 2, 1 and 2 talks about. Our lives should be a living and holy sacrifice pleasing to Almighty God. Brothers and sisters, as I shut this down, God has done everything necessary for you to have an out of this world heavenly existence. He's done his part. It's now your turn to do your part. Jesus said he was going to prepare a place, did he not? And if he goes to prepare a place in John 14, that I will come again to bring you to where I am. And if it's God's will for everyone to accept his invitation, then he will put a plan in place. And that's the exact same, and that's the very thing that he has done. So brethren, ask yourself this morning, as we respond to God's love with an obedient faith, as we respond to God's love with obedient faith, it's a choice that everyone must make for him or herself. So ask yourself, have you done so? Have you made that choice for yourself? Do you know where you'll spend eternity? Because God tells us in 1 John 5 and 13 that you can know that you are saved. You don't have to say, I hope I'm saved, I guess I'm saved, maybe I'll be saved. Brethren, you can know, it says. And if you've already made that decision to become a Christian, then you need to share that message with as many people that will hear it. Tell them of God's incredible love. Tell them of God's grace. Tell them of all the spiritual blessings that are only available in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, lesson one has been checked for the 2025 series. The cross of Jesus Christ. Why did Jesus endure the cross? Why is the cross important? And we're going to continue over these next couple, 2-3 months, looking at the cross from all different types of angles to fully understand why we need to love Jesus with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our soul. Isn't that what God said? God said, love, the scriptures say, love God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. If you do that, then you'll have a wonderful attendance. If you do that, you'll give of your time and your energy and your resources. If you do that, you'll volunteer for anything and everything. Why? Because you're all in and you understand the sacrifice that Jesus made. If you're here today and you understand that sacrifice, that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. If that is you, come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.